The Fable and Folly Network supports creators of exceptional audio stories, including the one you're listening to right now. If you love our shows, we want to hear from you. Complete our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey. This will help us learn more about you, what you like, what you'd like to hear more of, and how we can maintain an inclusive, safe atmosphere. As a thank you for your participation, we have extras and behind-the-scenes content from your favorite shows. Fans make the network what it is. Thanks for listening, and we can't wait to hear from you. Find our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey today.
The barn. The barn is huge.
I can't think of any beautiful spaces right now.
And I can remember this 50-foot beam being delivered to the house one day. Being delivered to the farm one day. On this giant flatbed truck. And he pulls out this giant beam, and we have it to be the solid, like, backbone of the barn.
Including something we call overshadowing, which is essentially evoking a god to kind of wear you like a mask.
But I think one of the perspective of that I live in is this concept of things that are already and things that are not yet.
And it's installed. Because most of the time when people say, oh, God,
it is heaven and all is right with the world. It's sort of like this, and I will get there eventually.
And it's finished and it's beautiful.
God is not yet. God is
an incredible piece of wood.
God is not yet over. And he lives in his own private Idaho, to which the rest of us are aspiring to grow one day. But the gospel speak of the kingdom of God being here.
And I hope it lasts forever.
As well as
he built the barn to last time.
And it's that contradiction. So it's that blending, the understanding that we are called to be people of the kingdom inside of the world that we live in, as well as for whatever the world is to come.
A lot of the other buildings are starting to decay, mostly the roofs. The shingles, the cedar shingles, have moss on them.
And that's
which
just
attracts,
by being, there's all these great things happening.
The soil,
you know, my body
which attracts
is,
all
is
the
saplings,
and
way
in the springtime, everything gets covered in seeds. And if you don't clear that off, they turn into trees. And then you have trees growing through the roof, through the building itself, and you go inside and you can't access anything anymore. It's all water damaged and tree damaged, and this tree has taken back over what you've carved out. And it's happening to a lot of
the buildings. That being alive is a weight.
It's now been there for 20, 25 years.
But also it's
and without
it's so
the constant upkeep of taking out those seedlings from the roof every spring, those roofs just go.
It doesn't take much to.
I'm terrified of my body. I don't recognize it. It feels like a thing that is foreign to me. It feels disconnected. It feels. I feel unattached.
There are great emotions and thoughts stirring within me, even though I'm not showing
it. I feel viscerally the idea that my brain is piloting.
You know, spectacular things that I'm already doing spectacular things just by being, and that that's a very soothing thought for me.
And I
and we decided to take a lunch break and walk this trail. And we're walking this trail together, and it came to a
one goes up a mountain.
And he said, "Well, I'll take the high road, you take the low road."
And I get a sense of
maybe nine. And I took the low road, and I kept going, and my trail got smaller and smaller and smaller until my trail disappeared.
Look at what the trail
and I
kind of
looked around, and I was far enough from him that I could not see him. He certainly couldn't see me. We were probably more than a mile apart. And his trail kept going, and his trail led to an end point, and mine completely stopped. So he walked all the way to the end point, and I wasn't there.
I start to realize I don't hear
and that took him
anything.
2 or 3 hours.
There's no wind.
It was a long trail for him.
There's no birds.
And mine was maybe 20 minutes.
I don't even hear cars.
And so I sort of stood at the end of my trail for a minute and couldn't hear him, couldn't see him. So I backtracked to the Y, and I stood there for about 20 minutes.
I start to realize
and I could still see the van from where we were parked, and I could see that Y. So I went back over to the van.
There are things on the wall. At first I think they are abstract pieces of metal. Then I notice a yoke. A fish cast in metal. What looks like wolf skulls. I look at all the other pieces differently after that. I can't tell if they're just shapes. Are they naturally occurring? Are they put here for some reason? Do they have some practical use, like the yoke?
I am terrified of my body. I went to the doctor recently, and he looked at me and he said, "You are obese." He ran tests and said, "Has anyone ever told you that your cholesterol is incredibly high?" I'm hyper aware of how the blood flows through my heart, of how my breathing changes. I'm terrified that I'll die. I have these visions of the blood flowing through my arteries and getting clogged and stuck, and or visions of clots getting dislodged. Finding my brain. And there's this terrifying mundanity to it, because this is what happens as you get older. And I guess what, I'm 35, which both feels, you know, like the beginning of having to acknowledge that, you know, you're no longer 18. It's also not terribly old. I don't feel old. If I were to die tomorrow, people would say, "Oh God, he's so young."
There's one piece of art on the wall. It's a German painting of a little girl holding a pale umbrella in the spring rain. The colors are watercolor, and they mesh together and bleed together. And if you stand really far away from the painting, it looks like you're as detailed as when you're looking up close. And when you get close to the painting, you can't see the little girl at all.
A young man on an animal, it is captured, bends its neck painfully. The wall, the man, the animal are all terribly artificial. There is a horror in the unreality, in the perfection of the buildings behind him, behind the wall.
I would probably say the lake, you know. It's a place where I can feel small and, like, you know, all the problems that I have going on kind of shrink away because I feel small. And so then
the
big problems
seems to say anything.
So I learned all these things alongside him, and so I can be 11 years old and helping him finish concrete, you know, for the foundation of the house. And the, inside the house, we have this three-story stone built-by-hand fireplace that he and I helped lay. And that's why I was carrying those 50-pound bags of concrete up and down ship's ladders. I helped him any way I could. And I wanted to prove that I could help him any way I could. And he was so proud of that, too. He would have friends come over, and I would be finishing concrete or laying down something else or grabbing.
And when I was born,
measuring tape decided to check something for him.
He's still kind of
I was like an
boy.
Assistant, and I really loved that.
The problems that feel big in my head are also shrunk because I feel small. That makes sense.
But I got back to the van, and I sort of just hung out there for the 2 or 3 hours that it took him to walk the trail to and from.
I don't think I know nearly enough about these things.
I figured out where the sun was, and I figured out which way was north, and I made a little sundial to try to figure out what time it was, because I didn't have a watch on at the time. And I remember scolding myself that I didn't even have a watch on me to figure out anything. And I had my side pack, and in my side pack I had a pocket knife, and I had a couple snacks. And I had a couple bottles of water, and by 9, when backpacking with Dad, I knew what was going on. And it was a small pack with small things in it, but it was enough. And I had my compass to figure out what the sundial was. And I entertained myself by, like, making this little sundial sitting next to our Volkswagen camper waiting for him to come back with the car keys.
Just because I
it took a long time. I was surprised.
I poured out the cream and the honey on the rock and inside the hole in the tree.
I am in a gorgeous white room. Pillars reach to the ceiling. A crystal chandelier. There are paintings of bearded men along the walls.
But if God says, if what God says about their
dressed
like
as black
world is that it's here, and this is what you have always, even in an eschatological setting. This is the new heaven and the new earth. You just it's just not here
yet. Maybe a quarter of a mile.
So I don't think it necessitates that there be some other realm in which God exists.
But you get to the top of the hill, and
I think that the more we separate it,
there's this path that stretches back,
the more leniency we give ourselves on not having
shacks that he's built, machine sheds that he's built, wood drying spaces that he's built, and it finally like spills you out into the garden and the vineyard in the far back.
Think theologically,
and we've had to carve out all the trees in order to make any
of the kingdom of God being here already means that God is also here
already.
And
one of the first buildings that he did was this machine shed that's back there that has a rolling garage door that's solid wood. The sides are solid wood, and it's got beautiful cedar shingles.
At first, I think it was a normal city.
Like, back in the day, my favorite place. Favorite public bathroom was one at a place called Carol's
There's
Pub.
A large
it was a dive bar in uptown. It's they just remodeled it and reopened recently.
Now a mattress.
So they've lost kind of the edge that it used to have. But like I could write poems and poems about this bathroom because they had a bar of soap, which I thought was pretty gross for like this type of bar, especially
in the corner.
It had one of those
a wicker
paper towel dispensers that kind of rolled back into itself, which I don't know how those actually work, but for some reason
it has a lid.
Struck me that it was just like recycling on itself
because
they didn't seem like the type that would change out whatever needed to be changed. There was a stallless toilet.
If you're hiding inside,
it wasn't like a bathroom that locked. So like if like somebody was just shitting on the can,
the bed is
anybody could just walk in and just like wash their hands or take piss in the urinal. It was all brick inside of it. There were pipes that were showing that probably shouldn't have been showing. It looked like a jail cell in
there
and there. And I was
just
like, I had the fortune of living right next to the bar, so if I actually had to use the bathroom, I could just run home and then just appreciate the bathroom. So I have like, an outsider's like appreciation of it.
There is a river running through it out to a large body of water. Red brick buildings. But as I stare at the buildings, I realize there are no right angles. They are all canted, somewhat nauseatingly, so that if you stand directly in front of them, they look normal. And the further off axis you get, the more strange. They are flattened. It seems almost cruel.
There's a...
I'm walking into the bathroom.
...vineyard as well that's attached to the garden that's raised as well. That had
the toilet seat's up. It hasn't been cleaned in ages.
6 or 7. Red and...
The walls are yellow. The parts of the walls that aren't...
I think we only ever got grapes
made
of brick one of them.
Are yellow.
And even then the deer would get in and eat it. And I don't know how they would get past the electric fence, but they would.
And grime.
Everything mostly got past the electric fence. It was a pipe dream.
The toilet, the urinal has ice in it.
Carve into the woods and not have disruption. But we did get some produce, which is awesome.
Everything just has perspiration on it.
And we had apple trees, and we have pear trees.
There's a bar of soap on the sink. And it looks like
walled in,
you know, nobody uses the bar of soap.
Patches with blueberries and strawberries.
And so it's just like aging there, like cheese.
3 beehives, Italian bees.
The mirror is cracked.
Two Italian bees. And I think one.
And every time I look down the sink, I remember that my friend told me that there's like a dime bag of coke in there.
And keep just replenishing
somebody had dropped it down there. And was
but
trying to fish it out with like
bees
some
in the
wire.
Area to support
so whether
the
they got it or not, I always imagine
that
there's like coke down there.
Flower and need to be pollinated.
There are 5 ships in the river, 4 with tall masts, 1 with 2 large wheels. A bridge spans the river. Like the buildings, none of the angles are right. This gallery is filled with pictures of a man. Small walls have been erected throughout, hanging from the ceiling. I dart around them when I think I see people. Of course, there are none. The man on the walls. The man on the walls has lived a broad life. In one, he is in chains. Here, he is speaking to a large crowd. His hand is raised. He acknowledges them. He is handsome.
I helped in just about every way. My dad was an industrial.
By the end, pictures of a coffin.
My dad is an industrial contractor.
His lips are pursed.
Industrial work, and so he could do the detailed cabinetry things.
Staring at something or someone.
A giant 500 square foot floor, you know, whatever you want.
I want to read deepness or godhood onto this man. I do not think that would be appropriate.
That's a bit of you. And to lose all these buildings.
He stands with another man smiling.
Back to the woods is totally fair. It's still really hard to see.
Surrounding him, metal flanges reaching up towards his face. He is not afraid. I imagine he must be very afraid. Long live.
Opinion, like all of that would be meaningless if that last part didn't happen.
With Shango,
so you could like pass the piece to whoever you damn well pleased.
He's considered the kind of warrior.
If the communion section wasn't attached to it, it would be pointless.
For me, he is that exemplifier of the warrior,
flowers,
the
trees,
guardian, the
it's warm.
kind of chief strategist.
It's one that looks cared for.
The source of fire and source of like blacksmithing and source of
the door
war.
Is fake. The handle
so
is
that's
drawn
that's
on.
Kind of the other side.
The windows are sketches. The lock is real.
The Fable and Folly Network, where fiction producers flourish.